Alrighty. Let me see.
All right, good afternoon, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for your patience and your willingness to put up with the challenges that sometimes comes with the use of technology. That reminds me, some years ago, we were in services, and I remember the pastor saying, we need to pray for these astronauts, they need to come home. Do you all remember that? How many of you were around at the time? The Apollo spacecraft up there was acting up. And of course, there's some documentaries about it if you want to look at it on YouTube about what they did and so on. And one of the options that they had was, at least by the phrase they used, was failure is not an option. And so I'm delighted about what has been going on. Thank you, Brother Justin, for allowing us to come to the understanding that we need to get rid of those old habits. And 2025, we're going to break forth and forward full steam ahead, regardless of what the enemy has in mind. So we're excited about that, and so thank you for those words of encouragement. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when you stop and think about what is going on around us, there's a lot. You look at the news lately, and last week, if you listen to the news, you think the government is falling apart and this person being locked out of the office and that person got locked out and the other people are getting fired and these people are being laid off. And if you listen to them, say it again, please. Yes, endless numbers seems to be deported. And then you have a few people now, when the plane reach where it's supposed to land, they say, you can't land here. You need to go back. They had two like that. There's no shortage of confusion. There's no shortage of, people breaking their word. Oh man, we live in age. It doesn't matter if they're signing a document, don't mean nothing anymore. You know, people are just going off the edge. But ladies and gentlemen, God has called us, He called you and I, to train us right around this same madness. And we see what is happening, and we're turning away from it of our own free will, on the instructions that we received from the Lord through His Word. It's written. You can read it again and again. It's in the book, or the Bible. You go there and you read it. And it tells you how we ought to live. And so, today I want to encourage you to take it a step further. We have just heard about turn over a new leaf, so to speak, get counseling, move on, and do things at a much higher level. I say higher, I'm talking about spiritual level. Well, I want to remind you of the story of, you know, these folks who received, they got some gifts. Remember about gifts earlier? Well, these folks got some gifts. They have this person who was well off, and he gave them some gifts, gave some gifts to his servants. And, of course, the way the story goes, it's in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, but it talks about these talents that were given out. Everybody didn't get the same, because not everybody has the same, you know, starting point, so to speak. You know, you hear that expression, some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, but not everybody is like that. Some people have a hustle. And sometimes the one who had a hustle seemed to be more productive than the one who got a good start. How in the world could you get the bat a few meters before the finish line and you end up losing the race? Well, some people are like that. You know, no matter what it is they get, they're going to lose. They'll find a way to make sure they lose it. And, of course, the others who are following God's way, He's going to make sure no matter how late you start, you're going to end up getting the medal. All right, so that's part of what we want to encourage you to think about. And so the title of my message then is, We Must Be Engaged. See, the slothful servant who buried his one talent, you know the story. Thank God he only had one, so he didn't waste anything else. That one he had, and he got it wrapped up, you know, I'm going to give it to the boss when he comes back. I don't know who you think he is. You give him one talent, he'll care, and he take that one and he buried it. Didn't do a thing. Didn't even have enough sense to give it to the investors so they could have made some money for him. No, he's sitting in his carcass there, and there's no shortage of people like that out there, you know. In real life, there are people with that mentality, because we're talking about a spirit, where they're burying their little one talent, They have more argument than anybody else. You know, what did the Bible say? A sluggard is wiser than seven men who can render a reason. You don't realize he's a sluggard now. You think you guys can get it? Always have an answer. Can't tell him nothing. And so, unfortunately, such people always bury their talent. They'll never go too far, and they will not be productive for the team. But you and I, ladies and gentlemen, have a different awakening. So I want to go ahead briefly, just cover a few little things so as to bring us to the point where I'm coming to. Okay, we want to go ahead and focus on it a little bit. Because you know about the start of the church, right? It's recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 1, really, and then chapter 2. You see, we're on the day of Pentecost, where this Holy Spirit was given, and of course, that's the birth of the church. And bam, there was power all over the place, and things were being done. You can look at the book of Acts. It's filled with examples of what God has done through people who believe and trust in Him. That is recorded so that you and I can see how God has operated in the past. And we know He hasn't changed. So guess what? He's going to operate like that again today if we only trust Him. So that's it. It's the act of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. That's what's written there. And of course, you know, we don't have no chapter 10,000, but you know, in the spirit realm, when we get to glory, who knows, you may have that written there about what God did through you. See, it's not written in the whole Bible, but later on He's going to show you what you did, and it's the same thing as like what He did to Apostle Paul and Peter and so on, alright? So I'm saying, the church got started, and here it is, the folks who were there, the disciples, every one of them were engaged. Now, taking a step further, and you begin to realize that throughout the years, because He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So what do you say about the history of the church? Well, it continued from that point on, and it continues to this very day. All right, keep that in mind. I want you to recognize now, the church got started. He said He wouldn't leave it. And here it is now. He's continuing today, and we're going to accomplish more, all right? So that's just a brief overview of the history of the church. We can go into more details, but that's not relevant at this point. You can look at that, you know, you'll do your own research in your own time. But I'm saying to you, you understand that He is working with you. He started out, and you came in somewhere, you know, or at least at this point, we're close to the end of the church age. But the point is that He's still operating like He has always done. Now, I know you have some of you trying to tell you, well, you know, that was in the Bible days. Well, guess what? It is still Bible days. And so we need to be mindful of that understanding and operate accordingly. All right, let's take it a step further. What about the work that you and I are engaged in now? I was thinking about that this week, and you know, Mr. Armstrong, God used him to raise up the Worldwide Church of God stage of the work. And of course, you know, he got started, and it was tough. You know, back in those days, when you get a dime for offering, oh man, you're a rich man. That was a lot. You know, if somebody give you a few used torn up stockings, so you have to take them home so your daughter can sew them up so that, you know, you won't have different holes, you know, coming through the side. Your foot goes through just one hole. I mean, one, you put the thing on, you know, and they were so happy to have these. They were in stockings, you know. You get rid of all those other seven holes and you only have one now so you can put it on. That was how things were back in those days, but they stuck with it, didn't they? They went on. And so we go right on to our time now, ladies and gentlemen, where people are still pressing through. You got a text the other day, wasn't it? I don't know, 5 weeks, I think it was. My brother Thomas, my brother Moses, texts me and he says, can I call them and give them a word and pray with them? They're tired. Yeah, 32 people at his house. They're not like over here. The people need God over there. They come to you and want to know what you know and you share with them. And so 32 people ended up at his house that Friday night. And so he wanted me to give him a word of encouragement and to pray with them. I called and I prayed. I just pulled off the side of the road, you know, asking, oh, they want to know more about the church. And so what happened is that, you know, we prayed with them. By the way, that's not unusual, because was it 4 weeks before that, 28 people came to him and said, hey, listen, we want you to come and meet with us. You know, come and look and see where we are. We need to know more about what you're doing and so on. And so when he went there, it was 180 people who turned up. And then they told him, we would like for you to start a congregation here for us. So I'm saying this to say, you see how zealous those people are? Because they don't have the luxury we have, you know. When they come to visit somebody, you know, I mean, they're going to sleep on the floor, but not talking about carpet, it's dirt. They're going to sleep on the floor, that's what they do. You know, it's a different kind of viewpoint, but you get the idea. These are tough people, and they are called for such a time as this. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was explaining to this young lady, et cetera. I said, listen, these folks, when you look at the color of the water in the little hole that they dig out, and other people could get baptized, you know, it seems to be more dirt than water, but anyway, that was it. And, you know, it was almost the color of that piece of furniture over there, that color, you know. So, around here, folks not gonna even want to touch that, let alone go and get dip into that. But that's what they did, and the last time I think it was 13 people they got baptized like that. But you get the idea. So what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that those folks are engaged, and so what we begin to see then is that God gives us these opportunities now. And so this comes to my main, I should really call it SPS, by the way, I don't know if they still do that, but you talk about a specific purpose statement, your thesis. You know, and that is that, you know, you choose how to serve when you're engaged. I want to encourage you to recognize that you need to choose how you're going to serve if you're engaged with the Lord. You're engaged in what he's doing. Now, you expect us to be engaged, but you can't do everything. So you're going to have to make some choices. And you're going to have to equip yourself, and we expect you then to be what, successful as you go along. So just keep this in mind now. You need to choose. What we find is that a lot of people come to some understanding, elementary understanding about God, and they think, well, I've got it made, you know, what's the expression they used to use? I got my baptism. Therefore, you know, they just think, well, I can just take it easy, I can do anything else. And they don't realize that that is just the beginning. That was the elementary stage. And so I want us to go ahead and begin to keep that in mind. In the book of Nehemiah, by the way, I'm learning some more things about this, but in the book of Nehemiah, the let's pick it up in chapter 1. Let's pick up chapter 1, actually. Chapter 2, but let me go to chapter 1. I know it says chapter 2, but I want to go ahead and just touch something here, because we need to see some examples of what it is to be engaged and be involved in what is going on. So the word of Nehemiah, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah, and it came to pass, this is chapter 1, by the way, verse 1, in the Malcheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Anani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. So they hear his note, they were in with Babylon, remember? And so he's there and he get a word. Somebody come back from home. Somebody went and visit, what's the expression of the wrong? You would say the fatherland. They use it a lot in Europe. Motherland over here in America, but for some reason, Germany, they're really big on fatherland now, and also in Russia. But the point is this, they came back from home, you know? All right, for those of you who are listening from Jamaica, you know, you go on a yard, and you get the information. That's why we would say yard, Y-A-R-D, means back home. And so somebody from back home came with information and said, hey, listen, the temple and everything is in bad shape. It looked bad. And, you know, everything is run down and beat up. Well, being engaged as he was, Nehemiah and the others, you know, he wasn't too pleased about this. So when he heard this, he says in verse 4, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days. Now think about that. The temple is in disarray. Everything is not working the way it should be. And he bursts out crying. You know, too many people are so engaged these days to start crying over things like this. You have something, don't get me wrong now. But for the vast majority of people, if they really were that, you know, invested in it, there's a lot more would be done in the church. But no, I leave it to somebody else. But Nehemiah didn't. He burst out crying, and you know, he started to weep and so on. And so it says, he started to fast and he prayed to the God of heaven, because things need to be done about it. And you can read chapter 1 and then go to chapter 2. Let's see. It came to pass in the month Nisan, that's the first month of the year, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up and the wine, he was the cupbearer, and he was sad. He was still sad. So the king said to him, hey, what up to you? You're not you, you're the happy guy, always carrying a cup and you know, jovial and so on, but here he's sad. So he said, what happened? He said, listen, they steered on him back home. He said, well, what do you want? And his wife was there, the prince and the queen was there, and so he told him he would like to go. And of course, you know the story. He went back and he had a bit of a place. He was engaged. That's my point. He was engaged to the point where he's committed to go do it. To do something about it. That is the way you and I need to be committed or engaged in what God is doing so that we are moved to do something about it. It may cost us, but we're going to do it. But we're going to get involved. All right, now let's take it a step further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see a recording there. I think most people kind of read over this. I listen to a lot of the folks who use this to try to see if they can collect a lot of offering, and they misunderstand the whole purpose of what was going on here. But guess what? You know, because once you get involved with the Lord, there are going to be challenges. This idea that everything's going to be fine and hunky-dory, you just take up arms against the devil. You think you're just going to get a free ride? You're on easy street? Oh no. For the rest of your life, you will be engaged in battle. Yes, this battle is for all until Jesus comes. After that, now they can put him down and then we change the spirit. That's it, really matter. But you get the idea. So, right now we're involved. Okay. Well, what happened in chapter 9? He says, touching the ministry to the saints, it is necessary for me to write unto you, for I know that, by the way, this is verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. And Paul is writing to them saying, I want you to understand what is going on for concerning the ministry to the saints. Now, what was taking place there? There was a shortage of food, and so they are going to collect stuff to send to those people. They were engaged in it. In the near future, there's going to be some shortage of food somewhere in the body, and God expects others in the body elsewhere to assist, get involved, to be engaged, and do something about it. You know, look at the situations, because there's a lot of if you've been observing what is taking place in Africa, there's a lot of upheavals going on over here, a whole lot. No, we are somewhat distracted here, and the news media really not doing a good job in reporting things now, because you almost have to be almost a genius to figure out what it is they're telling you, whether it is true or not. You know, kind of like Inspector Gadget, to make sure that they're telling you the truth, because they give you half-truths or some of the information, and some of what they report, quite frankly, is the very opposite of what is taking place, and a lot of parties that it is bent to confuse the people, to stir them up. And so you see all these folks now going on television protesting, they're going to go visit this department and that department, and I'm thinking, oh, what are we going to see there? The people who are in charge are not there anyway. But the point is this, they stir people up, and if you're one of those folks, as he was talking about earlier, hot-headed, you get, you know, stirred up by this bad information, next thing you know, you'll get yourself in trouble. Perhaps that's part of what they want anyway. But you get the idea. So I am saying, now here it is, things weren't right. And guess what? They're going to collect. And they collect the saints and say, listen, on the first day of the week, set it aside. Now, the point I'm making here is this. I follow that pattern. So that's where, by the way, I get the idea. I've always thought working on my budget the first day of the week. Now, for those who worship on Sunday, they think, oh, well, that's the first day of the week, set aside your collection. So I remember I used to visit this congregation there. They say, well, he said he must set aside, and he come with his big basket, you know, they want to collect offering and tithe at the same time, you know, the first day of the week. Because the Bible says you must do it on the first day of the week. Well, for those people who are engaged in that kind of operation, if they only collect an offering and so on, I don't have a problem with that. But that's not what really Paul was talking about. They were talking about material things. So he said that there won't be any need for collection when I come. But my point again was that they were engaged, and so they carry things to them. Well, by the way, we do something similar around here sometimes. Somebody get flooded out, or they get burnt out, as these people come with, cases of water, and they might set up a hamburger stand and start to give out free hamburger and stuff like that. People do that, you know. Sometimes I see it a lot in the Gulf Coast here when people are having, you know, aftermath after hurricane or something like that. But you get the idea. So what I'm saying is that now Paul was collecting, and he's getting ready now to carry this thing to Jerusalem. And he says, whoever you want to use to help to carry this there. I remember Mr. Hunter was saying, these people are talking about money. Paul don't need nobody to help him carry the money if he was of much money. He might not be carrying the money if he was money. His point was that it was food, and so we need to acknowledge it as such, all right? So I want to make sure we understand that and see what is going on. But here it is, I'm saying again, they were engaged with the congregations, and so they assist where it needs, where there's need for help. And so you and I, when we're engaged, we'll know that, and we don't have no pastor to come and try to tell us to do it. We understand that. We are spiritually growing up, and so we understand those elementary things and so on. All right? And so we're taking it a step further. In the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, you talk about everybody was engaged, and so the Bible says that they carried people into the street. They carried them into the street, that even the shadow of Peter pass over this person and they get healed. And then later on, what you find was, let me make sure I'm giving you the right verse. This is chapter 5. Because what happened is that they went through some tough times in chapter 4, and so being let go after they went them, they went to their own company. That means their own congregation. I tell them all what happened, and they started to pray. And they pray, starting in verse 22, verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. They pray until the place shake. Yes, God was near them. I'm right there with you, shaking up the place like the earthquake. I've heard of something like that happening in the early 40s here in America. People reported that they're no longer alive, but I've never been involved in that or that kind of thing. A wonderful testimony. You're engaged when you pray for the place shake. You know, so I'm just looking at this. You get the idea. They were so involved. How many? The whole church. Everybody. Now, nowadays, when somebody who believes in healing, usually just a preacher, maybe one or two person with everybody is looking at this and it's going to work. You really believe that? You listen to some of the comments people make sometimes. Let's see if you're anybody going to get healed. Let's see. And they've tried to talk as if it's such a mystery that somebody could get healed if you pray in the name of Jesus. Why in the world would people like these go to the doctor when they get sick, since they don't believe nobody should get healed? I mean, stay away from the doctors. Let's get them out of business. You know, the nurses and so on. Oh man, we don't need them, since nobody should get healed. this, you know, it's amazing to me, but the pagans seem to have a better understanding about this thing than a lot of people in the church. No, this is part of what they were doing, and so even the shadow of Peter come by, and guess what? People get healed, they were in the glory. That's what happened. But you get the idea, they were engaged. Okay? And so that's it. And I'm saying to you now, we are supposed to get engaged, and we're gonna make some choices. Alright? Let's take it a step further. Alright, in the book of Haggai, oh man, this is an awesome book. The book of Haggai, chapter 1. Let me turn to it. I got so engrossed in this book sometime between last night and this morning. I did not realize I loved that book so much. But in the book of Haggai, we're going to see some things here that you want to see when we say getting engaged in what is going on, you know, as God was trying to lay the foundation so that we could see what is happening over time. All right. It says in the second year, that's chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. By the way, Darius, you remember Darius now? You had Babylon, and then you had Media Persia, and then you had Greece, and then Rome. Those are the four major, thrones or kingdoms that was recorded in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. After the same thing was appointed to in chapter 2. But you had Babylon, and then you had Media Persia, then you had Greece, and then you had Roman Empire. All right, and of course that is broken down, and we see it coming out, carrying on, I should say, resurrecting all along onto this very day. The 10th one is about to come into existence over in Europe. In our time, we're going to see it. You youngsters, y'all going to be able to see it. But let me back up now. What happened is that, you know, you had Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king where Daniel introduced the story, and God showed the connection between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar on the timeline so we can understand what is going on. And then later on, his son really take over their arguments. At least some of the folks, the scholars, claimed he was another one, but he didn't last too long. But anyway, the point was that the baby boy, Belshazzar, he was the one put in charge. And of course, he got a little arrogant beside himself, and he had his party for 1,000 people. Party with 1,000 people. This guy living it big, you know. 1,000 people, he got invited to that party, and they're drinking wine and stuff like that in the, quote, the secret vessels from the Lord. Not even realizing that, so there's a writing on the wall, but that same night he died. And of course, if he take over. But here it is, Darius the Mede is what Haggai is talking about. He says, in the second year of Darius the Mede, king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. I was looking about this and I'm thinking, well, okay, all right. Zerubbabel, and I gave him the last name, Shealtiel, just to kind of let you know that he, because he's named after his daddy. So he's the son of Shealtiel, okay? And then what you find though in verse 2, the second part of that, and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, so I call him Joshua Jozadak. So thus speaketh the Lord, verse 2, of hosts, saying, these people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Well, here you have now he had stuff going on, and so they're thinking, I need a BMW, I need a 5-bedroom, or whatever it is, you know, they're thinking about material things. They were not sacrificing for God like they should. And so God had to send a prophet to go give them a word. You need to be engaged. Make some choices. Decide whether or not you're going to get involved. So what the Lord is telling them, can you understand where they were coming from, what their view was? And so he says, thus speaketh the Lord, verse 2, saying, these people say, did they say don't get them out? Not necessarily. But their attitude was reflecting that. They say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now let me ask a quick question. When is the time for the Lord's house to be built? It's not a trick question. Right now, we always build it. Right now. In other words, no delay. We're doing it right now. Always on it. We must be what? Constantly doing it. And there they're putting it off. You know, how long they were doing this, I don't know. But the point is this, it was long enough for everybody could see. And so the Lord sent a prophet to tell them, hey, listen, get involved. Start to do something about it. Don't wait on the next guy to do it. You know, there's a gentleman up in North, what's it, some city in Virginia, I forget the name of it. But anyway, he was explaining that he went to a radio station to do an audition because he wanted to do the broadcast there. And the station manager wanted to hear him to see if they would allow him to be on the air. So he went and did a presentation, and he said, 10 minutes after they start, the guy stopped and said, let me tell you right now, you're not going to get any money from these people. I'm going to tell you right now, with this kind of message, this is what the people need to hear, but you're not going to get any money. I'm going to tell you that right now. And so, by the way, I did talk to this man in person. We're by telephone, right? And not in person. But I talked directly to him. And listen, this guy is a strange shooter. He come with the solid information, but he said, people aren't going to give to your word. This is going to really offend the people because he's serious now about, you know, telling people that they must repent. By the way, he used to be a lawyer, and he sued 300 other ministers for malpractice, as he put it. You know, he said, he raised up just like you would go to the regular court and go serving up them in person. Saying that they're guilty of malpractice. You're not doing the work of the Lord like they should. 300 of them. You serve them, you know, this suit. So anyway, he did that. But, you know, so he is that type. But my point is this, you know. He is engaged. Well, these people were not. And so the Lord is trying to give them a word that, yeah, you ought to be engaged. Now he said, is it time, verse 4, is it time for you to dwell in your called houses, or sealed rather, houses, and this house is waste? Is it time for you to be doing that? In other words, put God's stuff first. Put God's stuff first. That's the bottom line. Put it first. We have to think about things like that today. You know, I remember I was somewhere visiting another congregation, and they were saying to me, well, you know, bro, why don't we get more healing in the church? Because you see, some of the stuff that they're missing, because people think they're going to come and just spend a few minutes before them, and then that's it, they engage in other things. The whole world, I'm sure it's not the whole world, but the whole country tomorrow. Today's going to be. Tomorrow, yeah, they have this super, whatever it is, tomorrow, everybody's going to be engaged, you know? And they're they act like it is. I mean, you know. To be honest with you, I thought it was last week. I didn't know I was so out of touch. But they're telling you, no, you can't miss it. And I'm thinking, boy, I was hoping I did. But the point is this, they are serious. But are they that engaged about this? Because, you know, I remember some preachers complaining that people are telling them to hurry up and finish the sermon so we can go see the game. They're not engaged. They have a little sort of life as well. This is all God can get. Now, no more. But they want to do whatever it is they want to do now. Let's hurry up and get the, what do you call it? Oh, early service. That's what they say. Let's go get the early service, you know, so we can go do what we really want to do. Amazing. But anyway, that's how the world is, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen. So I am saying now is that God is saying that we need to what? Consider your ways. That's basically what the gist of this message is. And he's telling us now that, you know, speak unto Zerubbabel, this is chapter 2. Now to Zerubbabel, verse 2, the son of Shealtiel, governor, and the son, and he says, who is left among you? So they build something, and he says, compare it to how it used to be. Compare it to how it used to be. In other words, something get done. Well, guess what? They got engaged. Now, we got a lot of work to do,
so, you know, let me hurry up and I'll share some more with you. Now, we just finished a conference this week in Kenya. We had a lot of technical difficulties, by the way, on Tuesday. And, you know, and my wife was saying, she caught one day a little quicker than I, yeah. Because, you know, we had real serious problems recording on Tuesday and having a connection and so on. I tried so many times, it was amazing. But anyway, that was Tuesday. And so Pastor Moses, he said, you know, it's going to be better tomorrow. We're going to pray and it's going to be better. By the way, it was better. We had a better connection on Wednesday. But my wife was just saying, oh man, they are so hopeful. You know, these people just say, oh, it's going to be better tomorrow. And they just keep anticipating that things are going to get better and press on. Well, what I'm saying now is that we have that work going on in Kenya. And of course, you know, when we started out, at least when I got involved, because here was a gentleman named Dale Glover. That was his name, right?
Yeah.
Many years ago, he and his wife went over there and they got going. Later on, you know, Brother Thomas, I'm not sure when he got involved, but anyway, somehow I got, you know, become a part of it, and so I'm excited about what God is doing. Now, what else is taking place over there, right? We have the church, and we have at least four congregations, and two more, you know, as soon as we can arrange to get more things organized. But there's a lot more that needs to be done. We're going to mention some things as we go along. But along with that, though, folks, comes what? School, the need for school. And so we have the elementary school now. We just started grade 6. We finished the building now, and so they can move into it this week. And part of the plan is that by this August, we're going to have the plan in place so that when January comes next year, we're ready for grade 7. We need to organize now and make sure we have some administrator for the high school level. All right? Now, that takes a lot more than, you know, what they are able to provide now. And that brings us into this other aspect of it, is the need for a foundation. Now, I did not know that the high school I went to, because I remember they talk about this thing, this high school and how we got started and so on. I did not know that my uncle was involved as one of the fundraisers in the early days. I did not know that. I'm just learning now from his daughter, who, you know, she's almost 90, and she's giving me some background information. But what I'm saying is this: we need like a foundation to help support this thing locally from over there. And so here it is again: we need more people to be engaged, and that's part of what I was trying to convey to them this week, that we're going to organize, because remember, the vision is, they're going to have church, and therefore we need an educated population, and that's why you have elementary school, and then high school, and then you're going to have trade school or college, you know, a combination right here. You know, we have that system. Along with that, we're going to have those folks who didn't get a chance to go to school earlier, that they can come back now and get some evening or night classes, and they can study and bring them up to speed. So that's all a part of it. So this is part of the organizational structure that we need to think about. Now, something happened yesterday, and I did that. I just really updated my information yesterday. How many of you ever hear the expression sovereign fund? All right, what exactly are we talking about there?
It's a state fund.
All right, could be state, but Country,
putting money up,
here it is now. Mr. Trump said they want to start a sovereign fund for the United States. I did not understand until yesterday. We really could be up and take the rate set up with sovereign fund. I did the calculations this morning. I'm telling you, because I was one of those persons who just believe it can never be paid off. And he said it, you know, because sometimes he says stuff, you can tell he was talking to other people behind the scene, and he might just slip up and say some things. And he said, we're going to pay off the debt. And he just dawned on me, I thought, to look at some of the countries, because, for example, Norway have a sovereign fund of $1.7 trillion. No, we got a debt of 36 trillion. We're much bigger than that. We're much bigger than Norway, you know, because our debt, our GDP, gross domestic product, you know, is per year is it's a little over 25, almost 26 trillion per year. Compare that to, like, you know, Russia. I realized I was looking at these things yesterday, how much they actually produce. But they, you know, they are nowhere near us. Most of the other people in Canada and so on, they're 3 point something trillion. And, you know, we're way up there. In fact, we're a little over 25% of the world's GDP, United States alone. And China is shortly behind us, and then way down after that comes the United Kingdom and so on. But my point is this, I'm thinking about a sovereign fund. So I thought I'd just go ahead and just mention that. Why? Because when you go get involved in this foundation, because other things is just an investment fund, right? It's to manage the resources and distribute it. And so that's basically what we're going to be doing. And so the church, when we set up something like that, is a similar operation. Yes, sir, go ahead.
That country you mentioned years ago down in South America.
Which one? Go ahead.
They gave them money. They didn't have to give them any money in the war.
Oh, yes. That's Falkland Islands, yes.
Falkland?
Yes, Falkland Islands, yes. So they got 40 million pounds in 1975. By the way, that's in one of the first document in the coaching, you know, that's why I know it so, like the back of my head. And so they gave them 40 million pounds. By the way, they got 5,367 people living there. 5,367 people living there. That's their total population. Yes, but their GDP, their per capita income right now is 85,000. It's higher than the United States. Their per capita income. But my point was that they did that. But I, when I started to look at this now, I realized we could actually do stuff like this. You know, folks, there's just so much more that we can actually do that we don't realize. And so we have to be engaged, because my information about this just got updated last night. When I started looking at this, I was one of those person who was convinced we could never pay off the national debt. And here it is, they're saying, hey, set up a sovereign fund, and they're going to go ahead and let that stuff, because, by the way, when I was 17 years old, I did some calculation like that. Come to think of it, and I'm saying to myself, Marcus, I was talking about how we could actually pay off Jamaica's debt. I did all my calculations, and I'm saying 8 years, and all they have to do is invest certain things in the airline and so on, and would I have enough money? You know, we go that route, but the point is that by mathematical figures, it could have been done. I forgot all about that until yesterday. And I'm here thinking, no, wait a minute, though. We could have stuff like that. It may very well be part of what is going to take place according to 2 Kings chapter 40, where he says he's going to take care of Israel, which is, we are the modern Israel. So we, you know, my point though is that a lot else is going on. Say that again, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So here it is now. I'm mentioning that. So I am saying then, going forward, there's some things that we can do even in the Atlanta area. You know, we have some plans to go put in place in the Atlanta area that we're going to try to implement one by one. All right. Now, we have some plans also for Jamaica. Some things that needs to be done. Now, it may sound, you know, far-fetched. And you know what was far-fetched? I had all these ideas. And then I'm down in Jamaica at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I hear his voice, and this is what I want you to do when you go to Africa. And I looked around and I said, what is the matter with you? That is the Lord talking to me. That was before we ended up going to Kenya. But that's where I was down in Jamaica. All that plan I had, I just changed the scale, but it's the same thing we're doing there. Now, I'm saying that to say we can get involved and do a lot right now if we decide to get engaged. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm so convinced about this thing. I did a lot of these calculations on paper, and I'm thinking, my Lord, how come we didn't see all this before? I spent a lot of time reading about these things and so on, and my view was limited until yesterday. That's when my mind, I don't know, God just opened, he just opened up my head and just put some stuff in there. Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. Okay. All this time I didn't see it, but I'm telling you now, it's a lot we can do right now for the church. Listen. You know, the current operation is like we have things like the picnic, and we're going to have an electronic library. I was forced into this because my website and everything went down this week. That's the last part that is left. I didn't check that. They streamed it. But that's going to be done tonight. But my point is that we can set this up for the folks over in Africa or down in Jamaica or wherever else, and they can log in and get the information. Now, what happened was that I talked to Brother Steven, and you know, we can have other, you know, subject matter and so on, things like that, so that we can get all those things available in the electronic library so that it can learn and develop and to grow nearby. Now, part of what triggered this was I made a mistake when I sent the weekly teaching out 2 weeks ago. And Pastor Moses called and said, "Oh man, that was good. That was good that you just sent us." And I said, "Well, I didn't send anything." And he said, "Yes, you did. I made a mistake when I sent it. I put his name in a certain group. This was for the folks over here." But then listen to it on the internet. And so he said, "We have four other people now who want you to tell me some more about it." So I explained to them that, okay, fine, let's go ahead and, you know, listen to, I gave them the link for the previous lesson, because the second one, some things were missing unless you cover the first part. But my point is this, they are able to tune in like that. And so I talked to Brother Stevens about it, and I said, you know, so we need to go ahead and arrange this now. So that's where the electronic library comes in, and people are going to be able to study at their own pace and educate themselves as they go along. More else. What else can we do? More involved with outreach and more involved with things like workshops. All right? This is just the overview. Now, I want us to think in terms of an organizational chart. There it is. They're really big on titles over in Kenya, and they sent us this thing, and they talk about who was apostle, evangelist, and apostles, pastors, and so on. They sent that to me, and while I'm versed in that the teaching from the Bible, we normally don't use that much around here. But I'm saying that to say that when we understand the structure of how things are supposed to be, then we can make a choice as to whether or not we will follow the prompting of the Spirit and get engaged in what God is allowing us to participate in. Yes, you're going to make a choice. And that's why I said you must choose how you're going to get engaged. It may be that you're just going to be praying for some people. That's a lot. Especially when you get older, it's very, very significant. But you have other things that younger people can get involved with and so on. My point is that we have to make that choice. And so I want us to think in terms of then what? Getting engaged. You know, some things that need to be announced. Like, for example, there's some funds that we use right now to assist the brethren in Kenya. That's Pastor Moses. We're going to make some changes. I'm going to stop the money from coming. We're going to use it for other areas because you are supposed to be able to take over this by now. In other words, like food, they're supposed to be able to handle it now. Things like that. And we want to go ahead and get, other folks involved with the teaching and things of that nature. So I'm saying that we're going to do some reshuffling. But it comes right back to the idea of then everybody engaged. What exactly are they doing now? That church is growing over there in terms of numbers. But they are the areas that need to be developed. And they need to get involved with. And when you stop and think about it, we're going to talk some more about this offline. But I just want us to get this into your spirit. What is your takeaway then from this message? What do you get from what I'm trying to say? I am saying that the work of God must go on. That's what the book of Haggai is all about. Do not say it is not time. In other words, it is time. And therefore, now we need to look to see how we can get engaged. And we're going to make some choice. And then we're going to go ahead and fulfill it. we're going to do whatever it is God is leading us and pressing on us to get involved with. And so that's the gist of the message. That is what I wanted to share with you today. I just want to go ahead and make sure I didn't leave anything out, but the point again is that all of us, as he say, you know, in Haggai, both chapters, it's only two chapters, one and two. You do not say it is not time yet. That word, I mean, we use the expression, go up in the mountains and cut down trees and stuff like that. But my point is that we make decisions, we get involved, and before you know it, we are doing the work of God, and we're going to press forward and a lot more. So I just thought I'd stir you up about with that this morning and try to encourage you to just make your decisions and get engaged. Thank you so much for listening.